This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio in this battlefield called life. Maybe you hear the intro every once in a while and wonder, what is he talking about, status quo Christianity? Well, what is status quo in many situations? We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about pornography. We don't talk about masturbation or adultery in church. We don't fess up to all the sexual abuse that is going on in our churches, or the spiritual abuse that is widespread in our churches. When I'm counseling people, I noticed a lot of them don't have an effective prayer life. Many of them don't even read the Bible, and these are professing Christians, where the American Bible Society did a poll, and they found that it was 10% of believers who read the Bible once a day. So apathy and some messages at some churches are very soft. We've been here in Arizona and spent for 4 years now, and visited quite a few churches, and quite a few of the messages, I don't like to say this, but I could tell from the body language of my family, and they even told me themselves, just putting them to sleep. It was just too soft. They weren't cutting into what people were struggling with on a daily basis. And that's a part of what we're missing, is we're not equipping people to be spiritual warriors. And how often do you hear about spiritual warfare at church? When I talk about hearing, I'm not talking about a sermon on the armor of God. I'm talking about equipping people to be spiritual warriors. And a part of that includes being a prayer warrior. So when I'm speaking at events, I'll often challenge people to spend an hour a day with God in prayer, because that's where our power is. But many of our churches, a lot of them don't even have prayer meetings. They'll have a team that'll take your requests, but that's not good. That's not how the church was powered. That it began with 7 days straight of prayer meetings in Acts chapter 1, and it continued with prayer meetings all the way through. So when I say status quo, what is a lot of our church services are rock and roll, screaming loud, and then usually a sermon that ties off all of the loose ends. Well, that's not the way life is. People in suicide, how often do we talk about suicide at church? Suicide is now the second largest killer of youth. Second only behind accidental death. Depression. So many people are struggling with depression these days, and anxiety. Sales of medications are going through the roof. Anti-psych meds and antidepressants and anti-anxiety medicine. We visited one church, and one of the pastors did a message on anxiety, and I just wanted to puke my brains out, because in the end, what he summed up was, if you need medication, go see a doctor, go take your meds. And I there's a lot more going on dealing with anxiety than just taking pills. And many times taking the pills makes it 10 times worse. So we're not equipping people in these areas. We're not equipping people and challenging them to being prayer warriors. And I wrote two rogue Christian books that talk about how to live a life that counts for eternity, and what I call the rogue church, which is going back to the early church way, which being a church devoted to prayer, fellowship, teaching, and the apostles themselves devoted themselves to prayer and teaching. And there was no isolated believers in those days. From what you see, they're always connected, where today's status quo Christianity, 85% of believers are isolated. They don't have another brother or sister in Christ to meet with once a week. And isolation, the U.S. Surgeon General came out last year with a memo saying there's an epidemic of loneliness in the U.S. and all the dangers associated with that, including depression, including anxiety, and including, as I know from people who come to us for help. A lot of them, the very first words they say is, I have no one to talk to. And we're talking people who have been in church for decades. A lot of them have no friends. When I'm talking about a friend, I'm not talking to a buddy you can do bro talk with. I'm talking about somebody you can say, you know what, I'm really struggling with lust today. I'm really struggling with depression today. I'm really struggling with anxiety today. I'm really having a big problem with pride. That's what I'm talking about, men or women. Those are the areas we struggle and confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5:16, but we're not living these things out. And I can say this with authority because this is what we see all the time from people who come to us for help. So we're literally discipling them on how to live the Christian life, not just how to deal with temptations and sin and fear and triggers, although that is, of course, a big part of it. But we're at a time of war right now. We're a church at war. But how many times do we hear this and understand this with clarity when so much of this swirling evil is going on around us? How are we equipping people to deal with these things? 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. We're not meant to carry all of the trauma. And some people get so immersed in the news, they just, it's like having a trauma donut when you spend a lot of time on that stuff. You just want to puke after so much because it's just so much that's dark. Prayer. Prayer is so critical. Prayer in our churches, prayer individually, prayer alone with God. That is so critical right now. But with many of our, you know, status quo Christianity, this is not getting across. The one thing that freaks me out is all those numbers about youth leaving the church for the last 20 years. Why are we not opening this up from the pulpit, man? 75% of youth leaving the church, hitting the exits. If you're a businessman and you're running a company and you're losing 75% of your new customers, wouldn't you be like, head's going to be going to roll here. I'm firing some people or they're going to make some changes quick. We're like asleep at the wheel. You lose your youth, you lose your country, you lose the church, and this is exactly what is happening, but there isn't a sense of urgency. Where is the fire and the passion and the sense of urgency? How are we equipping parents? Saying, moms and dads, your kids are going to be going out into a war zone. They're in a war zone now at their schools. You have to understand, having them watch VeggieTales cartoons is not going to get it enough. Having them go to WANA class, I mean, that's nice, memorizing their Bible verses, but the spiritual warfare is on now, today. Kids are getting hooked on porn in the age of 6, 7, 8 because guess what? Clueless parents are giving them smartphones at that age with no porn blockers or anything on it. That is incredibly dangerous because what's going to happen if your sweet little Jimmy is going to go to school and one of his friends is going to say, hey, look what I found, and then boom. And then you think your son's going to tell you? Let me tell you, I'm a parent, and I know how that works. A lot of times, mom and dad are the last to be told, man. And you really think they're going to come home and tell you they looked at porn today? Unless you prepare them, unless you tell them at an early age, you know what, this is what pornography is. And it is very destructive. And when you see it, not if, when you see it, I want you to come to me. I will not judge you. I will not preach. I will not go off on you. I will listen, and this is so critical. That's what I did with my kids growing up. I told them, my 8-year-old son, this was years ago, he's going to be 30 this year. I told him, you will be exposed to porn. And then 2 weeks later, he was on a sleepover with a bunch of Christian boys. Hear me out here. Everybody thinks Pollyanna, it's church boys. They don't do that well. Wrong. And they're on a sleepover, sure enough, at midnight, they're watching TV. The mom and dad are asleep. And guess what they're watching? Sexually explicit content. And then my son came home and told me. And I was so grateful. And this is the kind of relationship, and this is that kind of equipping we have to do with youth. We have to help them in the areas they struggle with. I've shared before how I heard at Barnes & Noble, a teenage girl, when I was there with my daughter, she actually heard it, where the mom was saying, or the girl was arguing with her mom, saying, Mom, I want to buy this book on spells because I want to know how to communicate with spirits. And the mom, to her credit, was saying, no, you can't have that. This and the occult is being rammed down our youth's throat these days. We're not even showing up to the party, or to the battle, I should say. Not party, but battle. And warning our kids about this stuff and teaching them and training them. But this isn't just kids. This is adults that we have to say, hey, you cannot watch this kind of content at home. You don't mean watching Harry Potter movies that have real-life satanic rituals in them? Why do you want that stuff in your head? Do you ever read your Bible lately? Do you really want that stuff in your head? No. And you don't want that stuff in your kid's head either. And, you know, growing up in a Christian home, my parents had an Ouija board. And I don't remember ever playing it with them, but I do remember playing with an Ouija board at school in, I think, sixth grade with kids. They had one in the classroom. It was a public school. Guys, we got to – this is what I mean by status quo Christianity. It's failed. We're not equipping people in these areas. We're not equipping them how to be spiritual warriors, prayer warriors, and overcomers, and equipping them how to deal with the battles they're facing. Depression and suicide, they're very real in teens. You got to be opening this up and showing them how to deal with it. And if the only answer you can come up with is go take your medication, that's you need to like refer them to somebody who knows what they're talking about, because there's a lot more of that. I walk people through to healing with anxiety that has, and a lot of those components have to deal with healing from old unresolved wounds and fear and the trauma that is there. And learning how to be a spiritual warrior, because the enemy attacks with anxiety, and how to overcome all that. That's all a part of it. And oftentimes when we resolve the spiritual and the emotional, the chemical gets worked out on its own. But some people don't understand this stuff. Are you equipping your people, pastors and youth ministers, on how to be an overcomer and fight? A lot of times that answer is no. And this is why I say status quo Christianity has failed. So the website, if you're interested in those books on the Rogue Christian, is theroguechristian.com. People have used them for group studies. It gets into the power of prayer and equipping you to be a prayer warrior and equipping you to living a life that counts for eternity. So last week I talked about our post-truth culture and lies and how in the political arena, they're not afraid to just lie it well, and they don't care about the consequences anymore. And you can look at both of the presidential candidates, and you can see that obviously and clearly. The one with the louder mouth lies it well, and people just choke on it and still applaud him and don't challenge it. And the other one is a polished bureaucrat, but he lies, and it's easy to catch him in it. Or watch it if you listen hard enough or pay attention. So today I mentioned I would get into breaking the strongholds of lies. And last week I also talked about social media and how people are putting their best foot forward and Most of what you see is everybody happy, shining, smiling faces, but that's not really real life. People struggle with depression, anxiety, and spiritual warfare, and temptation, and lust, and all those things, and how we've trained ourselves to fake it. But you can listen to that episode, that broadcast, on our website, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. So what I'm going to get into today is, like I mentioned, breaking the strongholds of lies. And when people come to us for help, it doesn't matter who it is. And we work with a lot of couples, the man or woman, man or the wife, with each and every one that I've worked with, there's always a package of 8 to 12 lies that are often connected. That once the Holy Spirit exposes what those are and we can pray through and break them, it literally changes their life. So I'm going to get into that today. But first, what we need to know up front in a marriage is that the lying hurts the wife often more than what the sexual sin itself is what the husband does. So one time I had a couple in my office and I was talking to them. And I said that these pretty much these same words, that oftentimes the lies hurt more than the sexual sin. As soon as those words out of my mouth, the wife just broke down sobbing. That's how much the lying hurts him. That's a picture of it. And without honesty, without trust, there is no relationship. Trust is the cornerstone of every relationship. And we have on our questionnaire a question that asks the wife, rates your trust in your husband from a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being best. And a lot of times they'll come in with a 0 or a 1. I mean, they're at the very bottom of the scale. So that I usually grab onto that and help them. Okay, these are the action steps we need to take here to begin to rebuild trust. And when I see a wife who's trusted is at a 0 or a 1, I know I have a marriage on life support that's in intensive care. And people in the culture we live in, the truth doesn't matter. And that's one of the things that I talked about last week. We're immersed in a culture that screams at us, the truth doesn't matter, lying doesn't matter, and that is full-on a lie. But when you're swimming in that gook, it's easy to get hypnotized by it. So the truth has to come out. And the man has to confess to his wife, and he has to spend time meeting with another brother and breaking the damage that has been done to his character and continually meeting with others, connecting with them, sharing how he's doing with lust. And though it's important for the wife to have her own accountability or support partner who she can talk with once a week and get support with, that is so critical these days. So many of us are isolated and doing life on our own. And if you're one of those, then contact us. And we have 8 groups going on during the week by Zoom and phone call that can provide. And they don't cost you anything. Contact us. But so let's get into the lies at the core of the heart. So often what will happen is when somebody's a youth, let's just say their dad is checked out, and I see this a lot, where the father is checked out. He doesn't know how to emotionally connect well, and usually that gets passed down to him from his father. Or maybe he has an anger problem, or maybe there were some hurtful words or something like that. And so this has a profound effect upon the child, and what will happen is they will internalize something about life and themselves from their parents and the way their parents treated them and whatever trauma they might have experienced in their life. So, for example, a dad who doesn't hug his son, doesn't say, I love you, that son is going to internalize something. And usually what happens is it's the wrong side of the spectrum where it's a lie, and usually it looks something like this. I'm not good enough to be loved. If my father really loved me, he would have showed love to me. He would have hugged me. He would have built me up. He would have equipped me. He would have spent time with me. Kids have to have some sort of concept about what life is. The stuff doesn't happen in a big hole. So here are some of the lies that I see often. I'm going to read them. And the one I hear a lot is, I'm on my own. And what does God's word tell us? He says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. But in this lie, I on my own, can often come from a father or a mother who was checked out on us emotionally, who didn't teach us how to live life, who didn't prepare us or equip us, who didn't show us how to be a spiritual warrior. And so what does the kid internalize? I had to figure life out on my own. But the problem with this is that we take our core lie and we layer them over our relationship with God. So if God says to us, cast your cares upon me because I care for you, but the young man or the woman really believes I'm on my own, he's going to have a really tough time trusting God. I'm on my own is what's going to drive his life. It's the beliefs that drive the believer's life, not what they know. And this is why so many people get this confused where, well, I know the Bible, I know Scripture. Yeah, it's not what you know. It's what you believe that drives your life. Knowing the Scripture is great, but knowledge is not enough. If the heart rejects it, the heart will have its way. So I'm on my own says, God isn't there for me. And that's another lie that gets connected with that. God isn't there for me. And I'm not good enough is another one that gets connected with that. Because if God isn't there, if I'm on my own, well, why isn't he with me? Well, mom or dad treated me like trash. If I was doing something more, then maybe they would love me. And which puts some people on bondage to perfectionism. I have to do something to earn love. That doesn't work. And that's where you get people who can become rigid, legalistic Pharisees. And they're always judging other people for their works. They don't know how to rest. They don't know how to slow down. They're type A driven types. So another lie is, I am rejected. And this is a very powerful lie that can really destroy someone's life and separate them from God and others, because if I am rejected gets hold. And they hear, go to church and hear, God loves you. What do you think is going to scream louder? The heart's going to say, no, I am rejected. God has rejected me. I must do something to earn love. I talked about that before. Those can be connected together. Since I am rejected, I got to do something to earn love. I must be perfect. I must do something to earn love. These are all lies. Another one that I hear from people is, God is too busy for me. Where is he? I'm on my own. I'm alone. Well, maybe he's too busy for me. I cannot be loved as I am. I need to fix something about myself, which can be connected to the perfectionistic lie, or I got to do something to earn love. And then usually with this package of lies, what Satan does is he walks in and says, since you can't be loved as you are, the only love you can have or that you're worthy of is pornography or sexual sin or lust. So until these lies are brought to the light and we work through them, the person can be in bondage and deep bondage and not understand that. So this is what I do with people, is I help them identify these lies with the help of the Holy Spirit. We write them out on a piece of paper, each one at a time, and I have them pray the following. Lord Jesus, I confess this lie is sin. And you're thinking, why is a lie a sin? Because a lie is saying to Satan, you're right and God is wrong. It is an agreement. So we confess it as sin and we take it to the cross. And then in Jesus' name, I renounce this lie and break every agreement associated with it. Lord, please fill my heart with the truth in this area. And after we walk through and pray through this with every single lie, often it changes the person's life. Sometimes their eyes, look on their eyes, change right in front of me. So this is how we break strongholds, and this is when the truth becomes powerful. So, my friends, thank you for joining us. If you want help, this is what we do. This is how I work with people, and the truth does set us free. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Genung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.